Okay, I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Everybody can hear me clearly?
Yeah.
First of all, have we any apologies? No? No apologies? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that the mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, please. The use of mobile phones devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where a committee is considering exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure that your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillors Code to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Is that all fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
So, is there any declarations of conflicts of interest?
No?
Okay, so let's have a look at the action sheet. Okay, so we're just going to take this page by page, okay? So, page one.
Page 2.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair, and Lisa, could I have an update on their property management meeting? So, Sarah, I know at the previous meeting I did welcome it, and I think it is essential that we do have that, because it's a highly big issue now, whereas I think that we're going to cost a fortune in the years to come, but I would want to be able to update on the strategy. Thank you.
Sure, officers are working on the strategy. It will take us a number of months to bring it to fruition, but whenever it's ready to present to the committee, we'll bring it back to the committee for consideration.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Can we have a proposal seconded? Dermot propose and Kerry second. Okay, so moving on to the next thing then, for consideration and decision. So, for consideration, the following notice of motion in the name of Councillor Patrick Brown. So, Patrick, do you want to go ahead?
Good. Thank you, Chair. Thanks for allowing me to speak on this committee. The motion reads as follows. Council will cease from using the weed killer glyphosate and request that all subcontractors employed by Council also cease to use the glyphosate and all products containing glyphosate in this Council district, in favour of a more environmentally friendly product and approach. Glyphosate is an incredibly controversial chemical and has been deemed by the International Agency for Research Against Cancer to be carcinogenic to humans. According to their reports, the cancer most associated with glyphosate exposure was found to be non-Hodgkin-like lymphoma, as well as other forms of cancer. The report further concluded that glyphosate exposure caused DNA and chromosomal damage in human cells. Other glyphosate studies have linked the chemical to a number of health issues, including but not limited to ADHD, Alzheimer's disease, autism, birth defects, various forms of cancer, celiac disease, colitis, heart disease, inflammatory bowel syndrome, kidney disease, liver disease, and Parkinson's disease, so some pretty serious stuff. Primarily as a result of these studies, it has been banned in at least 29 countries, including Scotland and many councils across England and Wales. I've seen the motion to Derry and Strabane Council a number of months ago ensured that that council became the first in Northern Ireland to follow suit on this. After inquiring with Neighbourhood Services Department, I can confirm that the council has been using Roundup, a Monsanto product with the active ingredient glyphosate for some years now. The department informed me that use in amenity areas is intended to ensure management of conservation areas, invasive species and flood risks, and access to high quality sporting facilities as well as safe public industrial sites and transport infrastructure. So I do understand council's reasoning for using the product, but I do think there are alternatives available. Reports in favour of products containing glyphosate such as Roundup by the European Chemical Agency, the UK Health and Safety Executive and the US Environmental Protection Agency have, which are by the way in favour of Roundup and glyphosate, have been heavily criticised by campaigners and in many cases, as shown by the leaked Monsanto papers a couple of years back, have been linked to conflicts of interest with large corporations and lobbyists who make the products such as Monsanto's Roundup. The Council relies on the advice aforementioned of the UK Health and Safety Executive to determine whether or not to use glyphosate products. But having read the guidance, it gives very little that they release, that the Health and Safety Executive releases, it gives very little concern to the risks that are raised by campaigners, and in many cases state that their decision over whether a product is safe for use relies on information and studies provided by the companies selling the product themselves. In this case, I feel it is very important that the Council adopts the precautionary principle that following the leadership of many other countries and councils, this type of weed killer should not be used in order to protect the public against any potential risks. The exceptions to this for consideration by the committee would be, for example, if there were a spread of a invasive species such as Japanese knotweed, for example, then small amounts of glyphosate could potentially be kept handy to be injected into that species only if and when needed and all other options have been tried. It would not be used to treat common weeds and certainly not sprays, and if it has been used in that case, then signage should be erected to notify the public of when this is happening, both before and afterwards. Alternatives to using glyphosate products include strategies such as foam weeding. There's a company called Weeding Tech which offers this service, and it may be worth council approaching them for advice if they haven't already done so. No doubt this option is going to be slightly more expensive than current strategies. However, firstly, I don't think we should put a price on ratepayer health, and secondly, I believe the cost of such an approach would be offset by a better strategy towards managing verges and other green areas. By that I mean we've made a commitment to rewilding and having more wildflower verges and so on. I think that could potentially have a saving in terms of using weed killers that could potentially be used to invest into these alternative weed management products. I'd like to thank Kevin. I think you did up the report, and thanks for looking into this, and Roland as well for bringing this committee the time that I could actually come to speak on it as well. I do accept the officer's report, but I do want to make a slight change if the committee would consider it. Obviously, I can't propose it. The officers bring back a report to the January meeting detailing the specific alternative arrangements for dealing with weeds and invasive species that does not include glyphosate chemicals. That difference being that the report that is done between now and January is not giving the option of opting out of not banning glyphosate. I think it's very important that we make that commitment here tonight that we are going to ban that chemical, but I understand that it's fair that officers have a certain amount of time to go away and look at what the alternatives will be, but I think it's very important that we establish a firm commitment here tonight that those alternatives will be found, and yes, costing factors will be a part of that, but again, regardless of the cost, I think it's very important that we make the commitment to ban this chemical here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just want to thank Council Ryan for bringing the motion to Council, and I know Kate Senator, my colleague, and Diane Strabane has brought a similar motion. I just was going to suggest maybe if we could make a slight amendment, and that Council also write to Housing Executive, Road Service, Rivers Agency, and all those other statutory bodies who also use the Roundup. I recently have been contacted by, as you know, I saw the Wildflower Mission and the Trinitarian Method as well, and I've been contacted by people who've seen that, and they've said that in their particular area where wildflowers are growing that are normally spread, to be kind of spoken to Kevin about having no big spray on there at all, so it can allow the wildflower to grow, and spoken to house insects. So I think it would be worthwhile if you tie in with those agencies as well and ask them to consider you know, what the motion states here that they will roll that out in their organisations as well. So that it means that there's a, you know, a, we're all on the same page for this. So it's kind of brings on the amendment to the motion.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that. Yeah, I think there's often a lot of misconception around who is actually doing the spraying, and
yeah.
Sometimes I think there's going to be a council and maybe housing.
Yeah, there are different bodies who have to spray it, you know, and other plans, so if we could do that as well, thank you.
Okay,
yeah, thanks, Chair. A colleague at work approached me a number of weeks ago about this and was very happy to hear that our council was taking this on board. She has a young son who has special needs. I don't know what to me, she's often mixed things that he comes into contact with, he's inspired her, and that's a major concern for her as a mother. I hadn't seen it from that aspect. So when I look at that, Chair, it's certainly something I think our party will be supporting, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chair, and I think that's a very good motion, but I know in relation, I've made the stand correct, but I know in our cemeteries, I think our staff and our work gravediggers, they've been issued with protective clothing and everything because of, you know, with formaldehyde and ballon food and everything, you know, with just being rich with formaldehyde and ballon food and everything, in the ground or whatever. And I think, as far as I know, I think any protective measures being put in place there, you know, to protect the gravediggers. I know it's related to the reason that I think I know the main person is there.
Okay. Well, the PPE for the researchers. Yeah, I mean, any work activity carried out by our staff would be risk assessed and would be training information provided to staff, but also PPE would be provided where required in order to ensure their own health and safety.
Yeah.
So it's a range of things. It's training, making sure people are confident to do what they're doing and know what the risks are. It's carried out in a safe manner, and that will include, where required, the provision of appropriate protective equipment.
I'm happy to support myself. You know, I think it's probably something that I wasn't supposed to be aware of. You know, I'm taking some of the people out of these concerns. But, you know, I think pretty much the concerns that are out there have been taken seriously by the council, and obviously there's a report to come in a couple of months. And I think it's that time frame after January. So, officials an opportunity to find an alternative to what we have here at the minute. But see, I certainly know she's supporting, I think she should do, and we're trying to address the concerns of those, and also the governments to speak to.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Nope.
I'll just pass
over.
Oh, sorry.
Sure, I think it's very important that the message is out here that council have always strive to follow best practice guidelines. They take advice from the industry experts. At no stage would council ever intentionally put any members of the public or indeed their staff in harm's way. But what happens to these things, the science continues to evolve, and the research into whether these things, these chemicals are dangerous or not. There's probably much more information out there than there was 5 years ago on this very subject. Something similar to some of us in this room are old enough to remember when smoking was regarded as being not only fashionable but good to have, and we all know how that ended up. So if you haven't taken a proposal yet, sir, it was an old Patrick camp, and I'm not sure whether any of my colleagues have done, but I would certainly propose that we accept the recommendation if it hasn't been taken already. I'm not sure why my colleague said.
Thank you.
Patrick, can you just clarify your proposal or your amendment and your proposal for me?
Do you want me to read out the motion again?
No, just your amendment.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that council makes a clear commitment to banning glyphosate products, and that the time between now and the January report is to look at alternatives solely, and would not allow us to waver from that commitment. Sorry, I'm happy to take this amendment in terms of writing under statutory agency. Now, as well, if you want to add into that the point about the indigenous species and Japanese knotweed in terms of keeping some in that way.
Chair, we will certainly bring back a report in January detailing what you have suggested this evening. What I would say is there will be cost implications, and to allow elected members to make an informed decision, I would suggest that you want that information first to determine your next course of action.
Chair, if I could also add, at this time of year, that's not a product that we're using. So I don't think there's a time pressure here for the council to make this decision tonight to ban the product. As Roland indicated, we've already started working in terms of our report is very much focused in terms of what the alternatives are and what the impact that will have in terms of staff, resources and costs, and also the visual impact perhaps on the ground. So the committee, I would encourage you to allow us to come back with a full report before you make your final decision on that.
If I could just add as well, I think probably the wise and sensible thing to do is certainly bear in mind, you know, we are coming into the close or the cold spell at the moment, is let's make sure that we have all of the facts. So let's see what the cost is, the council, the types of weeds, and then the health problems as well, and then what's coming in with the different situations, and let's all take a holistic view of it. And then, like I said, I'm not kicking it down the can. You know,
maybe January? Chair, if I may, just to assure members, I also want to speak to my colleagues in Derry Council as well. So we want to learn from what other councils have done, what the best practice can say. So this is something else we're taking very seriously. We feel we wouldn't be doing our job if we don't give the elected members all of the information before you take a final decision on this.
Thank you, Chair. Just
to
add something
else.
Obviously, you know, various development councils have made this decision, they obviously have some information that we haven't got in the session of the moment. And the right thing would be to do is to really consult with them on this and how they're going to be able to start going forward.
I, Chair, and I'm certainly not speaking in support of the motion, but I know that the farming community would have had three separate other sprays and went back to this because it is effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, and I know that on several occasions there were three other sprays and the other sprays that wasn't effective. You know, and it's just come back, I'm certainly supporting, not sure we use if it helps anyone, but we'd be the first to be hammering a DFI for the week is going up in hungry terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they despair from this on the use, what will happen is they will be spraying more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be spraying a week, kind of, but they'll be spraying more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it certainly shouldn't be used if it's adverse, definitely agree with that.
So are we all in agreement to look at the full picture and then we'll take a look at the one-head country bar?
So I think, you know, judging from the remarks of the committee, I think we would all be very good that they should be banned if at all we can, and I think we can, but there will be some sort of financial implication, no doubt, and I'm sure to many members in January will be of the same mind that we can bear that cost in the interest of public health.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make a firm commitment from yourself, Roland, that this product will not be used until that is brought back, and hopefully never be on that as well. But I just want to clarify that, you know, as of today, it's not going to be used again. I realise
the time of year makes that. Just speaking again on my colleagues here, they're not going to be using the product at the moment because there's still spare ongoing. So.
Mm-hmm.
If the only time we'd use it in this case would be, say, for the invasive species you spoke about, Patrick, say, Norfolk or something like that, but it's not routinely being used, but certainly I can give the commitment as from tomorrow morning. We will not use it until the council looks at this again in January and makes a final decision.
Who should propose and send it in to adopt Kevin's report?
Okay, propose and second it. Okay, so moving on to point six then. To consider the following notice of motion in the name of Councillor Lewis, but I know Councillor Taylor is going to speak on it.
I am Councillor Chair. He requests that neighbourhood services utilise the same neighbourhoods and environment act of Northern Ireland 2011 to actively identify, pursue and issue fixed penalty notices to those responsible. Furthermore, we agree that council should issue a press release advising of no nonsense, proactive approach to illegal dumping using local press to publicise our public community service centres and their opening times. We collectively agree that as a designated area of natural beauty, this council should be doing all within its power to detect and deter those responsible.
Okay, thank you, Councillor
Taylor. Thanks very much, Chair, and I do welcome the motion. Without seconding to Councillor Maclean Evan, I have raised several times raised incidents of flight tipping and the problems that arise from it. The impact on the environment, the cost of labour, to go out and remove it, amongst other things too. It is a scourge and actually needs to be taken to granted. And maybe as part of our education programme and awareness, we should be taking the message into schools, youth clubs, etc., and many other public platforms to increase awareness to highlight this very important issue. And this be, I think it's a very important motion, and I'll be going to grab a second motion.
Thank you,
Chair. Again, I think the officer's hard to make with Councillor Lewis a lot of background on the work that has been assembled through this committee in terms of the enforcement action plan and other activities that we're taking to tackle this problem. I was going to suggest to Councillor Taylor that we bring a report back next month, particularly around the publicising and tying up with open hours, because we're having through the review of HRT open things as well. So if members are helping up with that, we bring that report back next month.
Certainly you can speak in the press earlier to know that you can have those discussions, and certainly we'll be happy with the action as well. Happy to propose that.
Okay, thank you. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, moving on to item 7. So, Neighbourhood Services Mid-Year Assessment Business Plan 2019-2020.
Thank you, Chair. So, this is the business plan that the committee would agree at the start of the council year, and it's a 6-month update. So, all the items that you would consider at that point have a description of where we are with each of those matters against them. I think we're on target for some items, others have maybe just had slight delay, but again, we're working towards that and the commentary is detailed within the report on each of the items. So happy to take any comments or questions, Chair, if any matters were to raise any
items. Anybody any questions? No?
One progress I'm making there is implementing the cross all the anti-dump projects without county council. Is that up and running, or is it, what's actually happening there?
Thanks, Chair, and very relevant at the moment. Officers are meeting regularly now with our colleagues in Louth. We have as of last week, we're working on the action plan, which we hope to take back to the joint committee of the two councils. And indeed, last week, RTE did a piece, RTE Green Modern Ireland did a piece between Louth and Uri Morris broadcasting the radio on this project. So it is happening, and we want to get some traction behind it and get it moving as well. So
what are we actually going to do? Rather than a document, what are we actually going to do to put this out? Is it a serious issue?
Well, there's a number of key parts of the action plan, including working in local communities, including PRC things, including the monitoring and mapping of the targeted hotspots, of the sharing of information in relation to where these issues are, and also looking at what other technologies we could use, for example, CCTV, and to try and to eradicate this process. So there is a detailed action plan being worked up, which will be taken through joint committee. Just with my colleague Joe Kingsfield.
Sir, it will actually be early December that the officers will meet again, just as they go through the action plan, etc., and again, just to firm up on all the things that we will send, and then it will go back to the main working group.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? No? So can we have a proposer and a seconder then for this? Proposed Councillor Andrews and seconded Councillor King. Okay, so moving on to item 8, the report on Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group meeting held on the 5th of November 2019. Over to you, Kevin.
Sure, the report is for a decision. A copy of the last meeting of the Council's Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group, which was held on the 5th of November, is prepared with the papers, and we're seeking your approval for the actions within that. We have also had a request for an additional piece of illumination this year, and that's to light up 5 planted trees in Duke Street in one point. They were lit up some years ago, but it sort of fell into disarray, and it hasn't been lit. They have been lit for a number of years now. The cost to do this would be £3,000. This cost is not part of our current tender that we have with a contractor who provides this service for the council, so it would be an additional cost. It would be at a cost that is not within the current budget, so it would be an overspend. And if we do it this year, as I say, it will cost us in around £3,000. If we continue to do it then on, there will be a recurring cost. Not the £3,000 every year, because we're having to buy new lights this year, but there still will be a cost added on each year as in order to maintain it. So we're seeking your direction as to whether or not to do this. But if we do decide to do it, then rather than wait for full council approval at the beginning of December, we'd ask for your approval to go ahead with it so that it can be in place for the switch on for one point, which is on, I think, the 30th of this month.
Okay, Councillor Andrew.
First
and foremost, I welcome the report and all the hard work that's gone into it. I know the contractors have been there already, because the lights have made up already. And it's gone into field. As I say, everybody's been commended. And I don't just propose it before we head to the officer's recommendations, but in relation to the Christmas tree and cross guard, which was badly last Christmas, you know, there's a possibility it will be replaced, or else given some TLC, given to improve it. And apart from that, the report has been welcomed, so I propose it before we head. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor
Taylor. I'm not
carrying
in
given
for the
NLF and afterwards. All right, go ahead. Thanks very much.
I don't know why the Christmas trees in Duke Street, or the trees in Duke Street that have been there for maybe before my time, have ever come off the list of being eliminated at the Christmas time, because it's part of the AI scheme, numerous things come into play. But more importantly, when you're looking at the centre, what I call the centre of one point, which is the square, and all the roads lead to it, Duke Street is one of those roads, and it will highly enhance the area when you are lit up, because there's nothing but darkness, really, on it, and I would definitely the exposure that those trains be included in this year. And I tell you why, because it hasn't gone unnoticed right across the district, the improvement that there has been in Christmas lights. And I would see it as an enhancement to Warren Point when you're driving through this at Duke Street. There's a couple of trees inside. It's like a lovely avenue coming down with the shoppers and all enjoying, and more importantly, the children and youth and visitors of the area. So I'd recommend that we go on ahead and light up Duke Street. And I can't understand why, when they were lit up before, I know that's been some time, I can't understand why that has flipped off the radar and weren't done in the past.
Thank you. Is there something you
want
to come in on
there?
No? Okay.
Councillor Taylor? Sure, thank you. I'm happy to support the proposal as well. Just one addition, if you can actually, Councillor Lewis, I think I've been sticking with Kevin on this. You raised that Clock has two Christmas trees part of the display each year, and there's lights also provided and funded for those trees. Now, last year, the Community Association and Clock applied for money and were awarded two sets of Christmas lights for that, but it appears that the winter sets have broken. Now, they have purchased the second set. What we're looking for is council assistance to put those lights on that second tree. Now, it's not a big job, I understand, just as a council's call for some assistance in terms of putting the lights on that tree, going out with it. Certainly appreciate it, I know, the Community Association.
Okay, thank you.
So, thank you, councils for having us, things we've happened.
Okay, Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, sure. I too will be supporting the recommendations on the final segment, but David hasn't already done that. My understanding is that the reason the lights were cut off, so to speak, in Duke Street was because it happened the time of the EAC. I'm not sure how they went off, why they went off. But Kevin, thank you for your prompt action on getting that issue resolved. And just the other point, sure, is very significant decision being addressed here tonight in relation to the rollout of a further 14 sustainable Christmas trees. We have led the charge across the north in this initiative. Well, it's a good news story. And within the space of two Christmases, we have 20 sustainable trees planted. I think corporately that's something we can be very, very proud of. And I have to say that few times and two of the 11 officers, but it's worth saying again here and put it to the tape. Our officers are to be commended. They really were enthusiastic about this initiative. And the councillors as well, who wholeheartedly supported this from the word go. And by virtue of the fact that we have more than double the amount this year than we had last year, is testament to the success of the pilot project last year. So I know sometimes we beat ourselves up, but we should sometimes give ourselves a pat on the back, and I think this is one of those occasions, John.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Councillor
McKay. So, Chair, he was just the man. Councillor McKay, sea lighting, or the neighbour of the letter, I think somewhere, some minute, not the Christmas tree minute, where they're not going to get the normal lighting put on. I couldn't just understand exactly where you're coming from. But are they going to use, did everyone at that meeting agree to something less, for less than what we normally have?
Kevin?
Yeah. Well, the Kilkeel tree first, maybe then, yes. Last year it was a fantastic display we had on the tree, there's no doubt about that, but what we found was that we spent £5,000 on the lights and a further £3,000 due to going over the Christmas time period, and we were left with nothing at the end of it because the tree is it's a living tree, and the branches are moving back and forward, and the lights are just pulled apart. And as officers, we couldn't commit to spend a further £8,000 this year to know we have nothing left following it. But we have changed the technique that we're going to light that tree with. We feel it will give a good display. Perhaps it may not be as fantastic as it was last year. And maybe we created a run to beat our own backs with because we did it so well last year, but we're going to do our very best and we're going to get it lit up and hopefully a couple of days before the actual switch on, we're going to bring the Chamber of Trade and KDA down to have a look at it and just to see. If there's criticism from local residents, we've sent to KDA and to the Chamber of Trade to let them contact ourselves and we'll explain the rationale behind it.
when we get to the new year and our next meeting of the Christmas Lane Agreement is in February, we talk about Kilkeen specifically at the meeting and see what it is that we're going to do next year and agree that with the parties concerned.
Yeah, okay, so Chairman, for, I hope it works out, and obviously I'm sure you will hear it doesn't work out, but just on a point you said there, it's 11 trees and branches move, so do you have the other 26 trees in a few years' time, or 11 trees and branches going to move, or we're in trouble?
I suppose, Chair, it's a different type of tree, and you know, the Christmas trees are Christmas trees, but this is not a Christmas tree, so these are massive branches and they're just swinging back and forward. We don't expect the same sort of issues with the sustainable Christmas trees that we're put in. In terms of cloth, we'll see if we can work with the group. The group was very good last year. They stepped forward, they took it on, and I understand that it's a group consisting of quite a number of elderly people. We can understand the practical difficulties they had, and we'll do our best for them. In terms of the cross guard tree, it was vandalised twice. I know that our DA also will be liaising with local people there to see what we can do, but if the group feels that there's potential to replace the tree without it being vandalised, it's something we can look at.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support that we're going to be offered. Clock, I know we'll switch on to this day next week. It's also stuff that we'll be offered once we drive on.
Anybody?
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
did I forget
more
about you?
Sorry. No, just in regards to avoid the consultability next, I hear it is important to recognise that this is a considerable investment by council in our local communities, but also in our business communities also. To have 20 sustainable Christmas trees planted within 2 years it is remarkable. Because when we started out, the majority of people on the committee, myself and Jonathan and a number of others, been there from the start. You know, when we brought the proposal at the start, we didn't think we would achieve it. There was a lot of doubts. But talking to the communities that have been involved in the process, they really loved the whole process. They couldn't sing the officers, praise high enough. You know, that it's been a real success for community relations as well. And I'm sure that the people involved, the community groups involved in these further roll-out Christmas trees will have the same experience, and we're going to have an evaluation of that also. So I think that is, from a sustainability point of view, is really good, but also from a working with local communities is really good as well. In regards to the juice tree stuff, I agree, for the sake of £3,000, it's important to include that part of the commerce of Warren Point. There's a number of niche businesses in that area. And you want to support that growth also. In regards to the cocaine stuff as well, the tree that is there, the big fir tree that's there now at the moment, it probably isn't suitable for a Christmas tree. It's too big. And we did have discussions at that meeting, at the EA meeting, that we will look at alternatives. If it doesn't work out for us, we will look at alternatives. It could be an artificial tree. There could be other options available. But let's hope it works out, because the King puts on a great effort as well, a great community effort as well, as all the groups do. But I'm sure it's a success and could be awesome.
Thanks very much. Okay, so moving on to item 9 then, the verbal update on Ross Trevor Public Conveniences. Kevin?
Thanks, Chair. The Scarborough Public Toilet has been closed since earlier this month after finding that the ceiling timbers have dry rot present. We found that out because the council, those that know the site will know that there's a house attached to the toilet block, 16 The Square it's called, and the council had a project already underway in terms of renovating that property, and our colleagues in AWC are involved with that. As part of their survey work, they discovered dry rot within the main part of the house, but the ceiling joists run across into the toilet compartments. So from a safety point of view, we've closed the Ross Trevor toilets at the moment. Given that this issue affects both properties, and also given the fact that
as part of our public convenience strategy, we intend to refurbish and renovate many of our public toilets, and Ross River is one of those. It makes common sense for us as officers for both these projects maybe to work together. And so we are meeting with our colleagues in AHC to see how we can bring our both aims together to refurbish the 16 the Square as AHC has agreed, and also for us, and how we can refurb the public convenience as well. And we would intend, either through this committee or through the AHC committee, to bring back a report on this in December for you for your consideration.
Okay, Councillor
Finlay. Yeah, John, thank you very much for that report. I suppose it's fair to say that the general public get very, very confused when we try to explain them that sometimes these projects have a crossover between two departments. And whilst it's disappointing that the need was felt to close the public conveniences, I understand from a health safety perspective that your office had no choice, and no doubt the work to renovate both 16 the Square and the toilets would be expedited as a result of where we are. So thanks for your report, man. Thank you.
Thank you,
Councillor Stoke. Yeah, I'm sure I just want to support what John was saying, and those are our colleagues that this is totally unforeseen. I do think I understand.
Okay, Councillor McKillop.
Thanks very much. I was just wondering, has any businesses been approached that would allow the public to be able to use their facilities?
That's something that the council is considering as part of its overall strategy, but the strategy hasn't been considered by the council yet, the committee, but that is something that will most likely make part of our strategy. So with no mandate or direction from council at the moment to do something like that currently until the strategy as a whole.
Could I ask, have you any plans then to introduce maybe a mobile part of just into the square on a temporary basis?
No, there's no plans to introduce any additional facilities. There are facilities at the cafe at the Kilbrony Park. I appreciate that they're outside the town and they're not open to the same extent perhaps as the public toilets would be. We're hopeful that prior to the full refurbishment works that there will be an opportunity for us to open up the toilets again. It's just how quickly we can get to that point. So we're hoping that we get to the point where we can reopen them before we do the full refurb. And that the public will not be without those facilities for too long.
Okay, have we made that work then? Moving on to waste management then, item 10, report on litter bin policy and procedures. Over to Joe.
Thank you, Chair. As you say, this is for the in relation to the litter bin policy procedure, and we're really looking for a decision on this. Basically, at the moment, the council does not have a policy in respect to provision of litter bins. And what we're trying to do here is to ensure a consistent approach with regards to provision of replacement and relocation or removal of litter bins. Within the district, there's something like 1,400 bins. And say what we're trying to do is just ensure that we now have a policy and procedural. So what we'd ask for is a recommendation for councillors to consider and approve the draft litter bin policy and procedure. If you look at the policy there, I'd say the policyholder is myself, and certainly I would say this is really the first draft of it, and maybe later on over the years we will try and expand upon that. In relation to the procedure, the main aim is to consider a request for the provision of replacement by relocation of the bins, emptying them in the existing bins, dealing with the fuel, dull, and litter bin requirements, and consider a request for the provision of the recycling of bins. The other parts are just like the highlight is on the budget and grant aid. You tend to find about £20,000 a year to do our work. Grant aid is sometimes what you find is the department who maybe grant fund certain things, so we would use that, and also through, say, public realm schemes. It tends to be the way we bring in new bins in new areas. And finally, just to say a big thought, litter bins and the general litter bins, we want to try and make it more of a dual purpose bin so that you can actually use them for your general waste and for people to dispose of their dog food. And the last one is just about recycling bins. We are aware that this is the way we want to go, to that we can hopefully maybe have bins where we can actually recycle. And we generally sometimes will have that, is that there is sometimes high contamination on that, but it is certainly something we will be looking at going forward. And the last piece of just, if you have a look at your papers, is the request for a survey. So again, if we do get a request, we will have the supervisor going out and we assess the various requirements. So we will set time scales. And again, just put down when the request was made. On the time scale, sometimes you find it to be a very quick one, but we do know there's a different layer. On other times, we can find that maybe you might need to do a survey on for maybe 4 to 6 weeks. We'll take questions, sir.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Mr. Minister.
Somebody's got on.
No.
Councillor Kennedy.
First of all, on a personal level, so we'd like to thank you and Eamon and all for all your help with the request and queries and releases of available litter and dog food bins. And I do welcome the paper outlining the proposed litter bin strategy for the district. And again, you just put together the guidelines and procedures to for a plan and dealing with requests that are made to councillors and yourself. So I think, I was going to raise a bit of surveys and about how you determine the final outcome, except on your formula and how to figure it out, except if you have answered that, and also in relation, has the council sourced any additional funding, or there's any grants available to help folks build more business provisions in the district, but I'm happy enough with the paper that I was just going to grab and propose.
Paper short, it wouldn't make an appeal. One of the things, not so much in science centers, but to move out overflowing bins. There's nothing as bad. It's embarrassing you walking in a housing estate on a road and you see an overflowing bin. And you can figure out about me and my colleagues here as if it's our personal fault. You know, it looks really bad. I think it's a sure and all that. There's photographs on Facebook to me and all our bins overflowing. So I'm making a appeal. I know we're doing our best, but we can't keep that on the last check for you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thanks, Chair. I welcome it as well. I think it's sensible to have a policy in place, how we locate our venues and our towns. Have we carried out, I suppose, my first question is regards, have we carried out a survey of our current bin locations? There's a bit of an ad hoc approach to it, and that's why we haven't had a policy in sort of thing. Just the first point, maybe you can answer, are they in the right locations currently? Because I'd say all kinds of non-body officers as well would identify areas where they're not in the correct position, they're maybe not in offense. We're now talking about beers and ice. Are they then broken? Then are they going to be replaced with them? Are they in locations that just not a refuge bin? Are they in locations? The recycling bins, I do agree, there's a real need for recycling bins in our, I think, because of the general public are keen on this, they want to recycle. In the past, the appetite might have been there, but it's definitely there now that the public are demanding it. And there's a number of people have asked me that they've been guilty just putting it in an ordinary bin. Aluminium cans, cardboard, paper, so and plastic, there is a real desire for the public. So I think we should definitely look at them in our car parks, in our town centres, even in our rural car parks as well. In regards to maintenance of the bin infrastructure, I think there's a need to look at maintenance. you know, he lifted a number of refuse bins and are beginning to rust. All they need is a bit of maintenance, a bit of treatment and painting on a regular basis. And I know that that will be picked up hopefully in our maintenance strategy, or our maintenance way forward. Because you get, if you do look after the bin, you'll get a longer life. So I think it makes sense to do that.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, I'll give you the result. Sure. 6 months ago, before the election, I was out in a couple of rural parts of my own DA. And it's only really at that time I actually became conscious that there's no bins sited in those particular areas. I contacted the officers and sort of was informed of what the procedure was, which has now appeared in the paper. It pretty much was that a survey would be undertaken. Now, that approach is obviously working and has worked up to this point. But I would contend, Chair, that in a lot of these hamlets and small settlements that have grown substantially in the past 10 or 15 years, there should be a bin. There should be a bin somewhere. Because the survey takes place, it's a snapshot in time, it's a particular day. I mean, the policy that we are now proposing would pretty much set in stone that we will act retrospectively. In other words, we will only act on the results of the survey that finds a load of rubbish in a particular area. So it's not as simple as that. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I definitely would like to see an area that has a couple of new housing developments in it, that has no bin in that area. There should be a bin provided, because there's obviously a bus stop or a small shop or something that has also been installed to service those new housing developments. But apart from that, I do welcome the fact that there's going to be an official policy put in place. Thank you.
Thank you,
Councillor Lindley.
Councillor Brown.
Great. Thank you very much for having me speak, Chair. And Joe, very much welcome the support. I think we had a quick chat about this a couple of weeks back. It's been quite frustrating at times to go to two officers and request a bin for an area that I know is a particular hotspot. I've been on about parks of Stain Field on the green there, in the middle of the time, but particularly locked parks and inches from up constantly as a real hotspot between dog fouling and littering. And I've just been met with the council have no plans to bring out any additional litter bins anytime soon. So it is encouraging to hear that this report is coming forward. What I'd like to ask is, would there be any special consideration given to councillors, particularly councillors asking for within their DEA, any additional weight given to their requests when they ask for an area? Because obviously we're going to be dealing with multiple requests for the same area, and we'll be perhaps able to better advise officers on the most important hotspots for littering and so on.
So we'll just take Councillor
McCain
then,
yeah,
and then let you come back
here
if you can remember.
Councillor McCain. Okay, thanks, Chair. There was a bit of a survey research quote on Newcastle had been with some type of flats. Having litter bins in themselves, because we hear the heart of the problem down the river, I suppose, all along the coast with the seagulls, the habit of putting rubbish out again, unless they're probably sealed and closed up, what have you. I think I mentioned a few years ago, I noticed it in Cornwall and Devon, on their litter bins, they would get sticker on their litter bin with a phone number stating if this bin is still gone. A particular council, but that was a good idea. Yes, and maybe to simplify that, there would be a number on the bins. Albert is 1400 bins, but a number which you would recognise the area immediately and get a call. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Mr. McKeith. Thank you, Chair. I think I'll start basically letting you know that you're aware we do have a street cleaning review going on, so again, we're going to tie in the litter bins into the whole piece of how we clean the streets, etc. A couple of the things that we frequently attempt in, and about them overflowing then. Certainly it is something that we like to try and keep on top of. But sometimes when there's litter on the ground, we can say it's the public, but certainly if it's not getting empty, it is the council school. We do take on board that part of it. The location of bins is always a very difficult one, because what you find is that a lot of people have it, they want the litter bin, but not outside my front door. And I have had occasions in some of the times where they even exchange feet where I put the bins in and then all of a sudden they ask that you move them another 2 or 3 metres left or right. And that takes a lot of time and effort in doing that. So again, we just need to bear that in mind. The take on board is again just about the litter bin and the dog bin. You having a dual approach helps, because if you have a dog bin there and you have a bit of litter, what do you do? And again, sometimes you also get a different litter bin, and some of the dog owners think that you can't put the dog filing bag in the bin. Now, we've actually got stickers now that we're putting on all the bins to say, look, you can actually buy and put the waste into those bins. So I think it's always good to have a rural approach. And the maintenance of them, and again, just the whole idea of the coastal area. What I would say is it's a vibrancy around the coastal area. You do find that the bins do, because of the weather and again with the salt air, the bins do tend to get hit pretty hard. So it is something that we are aware of, and that there's certain areas that is crazy how they rust. And again, sometimes in cases of maybe if you do have dog bins and more of that, you actually maybe buy these more of the like a plastic type, etc. Or something that doesn't really corrode as much. So we're always looking at the various design features that are on the bins. Again, with surveys, I have to tell you, we provide a 7-day operation. So your management supervisors are always out there looking at it, the staff are looking at it. You know, even the staff at times would give us an indication of where to put the bins and to try and do that. I was asked about the estates. The difficulty there is that if you think of a housing estate, you tend to get it that most people in the estate live there. So again, any waste that needs to be disposed of, they can do use their own bins. And in fact, ideally, if it is a plastic bottle or a can, they can put it into the blue bin. So what we would tend to try and do is get the entry and exit points, so they come in or out. And as I say, with we've found over the years with estates, you tend to find that's where you get people saying, I want one here, and then if you're putting it too close to a house or something like that, then they will complain. So, you know, certainly we throw that in mind. Just looking at the whole idea about having pressure and extra weight, certainly we can take that on board, and it is something that we will look at as a point system maybe, or something for the second phase around to say, well, we've run this for a year or so, and here's where we think we are. So I would maybe propose that, you know, while we're doing this and putting this through, that maybe in a year's time I come back and say this is how things hopefully have developed. I do take on board the point about putting the flaps on the bins. We do that. It's a prize in the very early morning, especially during the summer, where you think that the kids are whoever else were partying the night before. It's actually been the birds that come in and pull the stuff out. Yes, we still do have kids and whatever else that the night before making that mess. So we'll have come on to say, like, we need to maybe put flaps in certain areas. We do watch that particular one, because I even find that you tend to have the aperture on the side of the bin, and you find some people don't mind putting the rubbish into the bin, but if there's a flap at the side, you actually physically have to touch the bin. So that's why we tend to keep the aperture on the side. We don't have the aperture on the top, because then you get to go and put the black bags, etc. So we do take on board the idea of using it. And I don't know whether you were really thinking along the lines of the big belly bin. And that's the ones where they were compacted with the tools. And again, with a number of them in Newcastle, those things are quite expensive, about 4K. So normally what we'll do is chase funding or public rail or something like that to be able to do that. And the last one, hopefully I've got them all, was the foam in the bin. I do remember a councillor bringing to my attention a couple of years back. There was a word that in the former Newton Abbey area, they had the phone number on the bin. So what did I do? I phoned the number a number of times, and nobody answered. So it's good to have the number on the bin, but you need to make sure that somebody answers and they get to the other bar. So we'll have a wee think about that one, and I said something that we can look at as part of the development, but I have tried it, and I didn't get anyone in there, the urban electric official, to answer my call. Hopefully that's the problem.
Sure, I think the number on the bed is a valid point. I think it's part of the neighbourhood service project and other kinds of projects that are going on, particularly on your CRA project, which is how you engage customers and how customers can contact the council for service requests. That's the type of thing that we need to be looking at as part of that project. But it's definitely something we need to take on board and look at the solution.
Okay, so we've got a
proposal.
Yes,
that
makes sense.
You know, the summer month or litter is a different thing, and particularly advanced. It seems to be the litter is just for the bins, and that needs the same ratio summer and winter, and that's creating quite a problem where if you fill it a bin maybe in an hour, where the winter can only last a week, you know.
Sure, that is right, and that's why there are things during the summer period in the tourist areas where we try and use seasonal staff to allow for extra cleaning and the emptying of the bins. So, you know, the other thing I would say on events is that if it is a large event, we'll actually put in event, what we call event bins. So they do the larger, like 240 bins, so that will allow for people to use them. Thursday evening, they do the event, so we'll certainly take the time to recycle, etc., where we're actually putting them in and then taking out like, within a couple of days.
Okay. So moving on to point 11. So that's the report on their consultation on waste management plan NI. Over to you, Ron.
Thank you, Chair. Quite a lengthy detailed report here. This relates to the data consultation on the waste management plan for NI. The consultation is issued in October and closes in December. Appendix 1 in the report details the letter that came from DERA, and Appendix 2 details the waste management plan for NI. There's a lot of detail here in terms of Article 28 of the Revised Waste Framework Directive and also the Waste and Contaminated Land. Don't propose to get into that unless members want me to. What I would say is the consultation response that we've drafted in front of you has been done with other councils. We've worked together with other councils to come up with this consultation response with a consistent message back to the departments on this. A couple of things I would highlight. This is a technical consultation. We believe this is perhaps the department just meeting their EU requirements as opposed to any sort of detailed changes to the waste management plan. We are highlighting back to them also that the department hasn't published a timescale for their waste management strategy, and for them to ask us for our waste management plans, that's the wrong way around, and we're making that point back in this response, as are all other councils. So as I said, the details there in the appendix of what we're saying back to them. I'm happy to take any questions or comments from the representative.
Anybody got any questions? No, so are we happy to go in for a closure second there? Okay, moving on to point 12, so report on Christmas and New Year holiday arrangements, refuge collection and household recycling centre. Over to you again, Joe.
Thank you, Chair. This is basically just for notice that you tend to find that the gates of collection for the bins and also for the opening of the household recycling or the closure as it may be is already agreed at the end of the year in advance. So this is just to make the committee members aware of what we intend to do as part of the Christmas holidays and New Year's arrangements. So if there's any questions, or sort of open, but if there's any queries, certainly we'll speak in that afterwards.
Anybody?
No?
Proposer and seconder? Anybody for seconding? Okay, now I can't say all the way to the end. Councillor McGuinness. So now we're on to for noting. So we'll look at point 13, but I'm going to take the proposal and second round 13 and 14 together. So, because point 15 was to go into committee. So, if we look first of all at R21 joint committee minutes, 26th of September. So, Rowan?
Yes, yes. So, items 13 and 14 joint committee minutes are available for conclusion. Other than following, I have to take any questions and propose I'm second business from Rowan, please. Thank you, Chair. The paper is detailed in front of you there. The response on behalf of the Council from Act 21 is contained in the appendix. This has already been submitted by ARC on our behalf, so it's really just a warning that this is what has been done on the Council and other Council's behalf.
Okay,
so
Councillor
McKay,
sorry, and
seconder.
Okay, Councillor Okay, so item 16 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. Information relating to the financial and business affairs of any particular person, including the councils holding that information and the public may be by resolution, be excluded during these items. So can I have a proposer and a seconder to go into committee? Okay. Councillor Gillard, thank you. Item 16 in committee items from R21 Joint Committee meeting, Joint Committee minutes, 26th of August 2019, on the proposal of Councillor McKay, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. It was agreed to note the in committee items from R21 Joint Committee minutes on the 26th of August 2019.
Just for clarity for the TID, it was also agreed to for officers to arrange visits to two waste facilities on the proposal of Council Andrews and seconded by Council Stokes.
Okay, that's okay, well, thank you, isn't it? So thank you very much for getting up the ring.